Hello, church family. This is Pastor James McManus with Word of God Ministries. I want to thank you for tuning in to today's podcast. My prayer today is that this word encourages and deepens your faith. Again, thanks for tuning in.
The only way we can reconcile what the world thinks of Jesus is we've got to get the revelation. Notice Jesus asked the question, who do men say that I am? What's society? What's your peers? What's your coworkers, family members, friends, cousins? Who do they say that I am? And then he came behind that. He came behind that and he said, okay, who do you say that I am? Because the disciples' revelation of Jesus and their understanding of who he is would be the only thing that could, I like using the word reconcile, is the only way that could reconcile the issue of ignorance of society when it came to Jesus. And this questioning became the foundation of the church. You know, anytime you don't understand something's purpose, abuse is inevitable. I'm gonna say that again because I hadn't said it enough over these last 5 years, all right? Anytime you don't understand something's purpose, abuse is inevitable. And when you don't understand the purpose of the church, abuse is inevitable, and you put expectations on the church and you go church shopping looking for something that you don't find, but it was based on what you might not have had any biblical right to expect. So we need to know, why did Jesus establish the church? And that's being answered here because he asked the question, who do men say I am? Oh, they say you're John the Baptist. Oh, they say you're one of the prophets. Oh, they say you're John the Baptist risen from the dead. He said, okay, who do you say that I am? Because I can't resolve what the world is saying about me until my own disciples get this right. And church, this is true, as true in this society today, that people in our lives that do not know who Jesus is asking you, who do you say I am? Because how are you gonna resolve what people think of him when you don't even have revelation of who he is? So then on those two questions, you know, these aren't things I'm making up. I'm reading the word. On those two questions, Jesus establishes his church. And it is established on the revelation of Jesus. It is established on the revelation of who he is. And you can, if you make church about anything else, you've made it about something other than what he intended. You say, well, what about the word of God? Well, it is the word of God that gives us the revelation of Jesus. Read the story of Jesus on the road to Emmaus when he runs into the disciples and what he used to disclose his identity to his disciples. You say, well, what about the Holy Spirit? Well, without the Holy Spirit, you can't get the revelation of Jesus. It is by God's Spirit that we see him for who he is. It is by God's Spirit that his word is open to us. But the end result of the ministry of the word of God and the ministry of the Spirit of God, the end result is the revelation of Jesus. Not the adoration of a man, not the applause of a man, not the accolade of a man, not how anointed a man or woman can be. When you make the church about anything other than Jesus and a revelation of who he is, you have done the establishment of the church an injustice. You have done the head of the church an injustice. You say, Pastor, we did you an injustice. I am not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. We do the head an injustice when we make it about anything else. Amen. All right, that was just a footnote. Now, so let's go to verse 19. He says, and I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. We need to understand what that means, because there's two things I want to cover before we wrap this series up. I want to cover what it means to bind and loose. That's why we covered so much information that we did last week about Jesus' authority in heaven and in earth. And then secondly, and we'll spend probably the bulk of our time remaining here tonight on dealing with what does it mean to go out and come in? Because both of those phrases, binding and loosing and going out and coming in, they're kingdom, that's kingdom terminology. And so we wanna dive into that and say, okay, what does it mean to bind and loose, and what does it mean to go out and come in? Because there is a kingdom mandate that involves those two phrases. So if you're one that writes in your Bibles, next to Matthew 19, 16:19 writes Psalms 119:89. Just write that down next to your verse there, all right? Now, since we're already in Matthew, come over to Matthew 24, and then let's go to verse 35. Matthew 24, and let's go to verse number 35. Now, let me explain. This is why last week's message, if it is fresh on your memory, would be so good right now. And so if you're watching this on YouTube for the first time, stop, hit the pause button. Just don't hit pause and with me having an ugly expression on my face. So I'll give you a moment. I'll kind of pause. Okay, now, do it. I think perfect. Now, go back and listen to last week's message first and then listen to this one. Because last week kind of sets us up where Jesus has authority in heaven and earth, and we see that relationship between heaven and earth and Jesus' authority, and we got all into that last week. Now, I want to go to Matthew 24, and I want to show you something here in verse 35. Because when Jesus said, what we bind on earth would be bound in heaven, and what we loose on earth would be loosed in heaven, has been taken out of context. And I want to show you biblically how you do that, not in some hyper faith. Have you ever heard somebody say, you know, regarding something, a job or whatever, a thing, person, they started speaking as if it were. And then they said, well, I'm calling the thing that be not as though it were. All right. You say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? Are you saying I can't call the thing that be not as though it were? No, no, you can call the thing that be not as though it were, as long as it be in heaven. You can call the thing that be not as though it were, as long as you've got scripture for it, as long as you've got word on it. But you can't look at something and call something that be not as though it were if it violates scripture. And there are a lot of people that get into a hyper faith calling a thing that be not as though it were, and they say, well, I'm calling a thing that be not as though it were. So if you look at somebody's husband and say, that's my husband. I said, wait a minute, he's already married. Yeah, but I'm calling a thing that be not as though it were. No, you better cuss. You're going to get yourself in some trouble. Because that man is already married, and what God had joined together, let no man put us under. So you just can't call whatever you want to call that be not as though it were. And some of this may be foreign to you. You may have never heard this, but that's what Abraham did according to Romans chapter 4 when he called the thing that be not regarding Isaac as though it were, when he told the young men, hey, y'all wait here. Isaac and I go yonder to worship, and we come back to you. Well, he knew when he went up to that mount that Isaac was going to be sacrificed, but he also knew that God had promised through Isaac he would have seed outnumber the stars, and Isaac at that point had not had Jacob. Isaac wasn't even married yet when he was laid on that altar. So he knew that the word of God had not yet come to pass in Isaac's life. Therefore, Isaac had to live. And Romans 4:17 and Hebrews 11:17 tell us that what Abraham did was is he developed a vision. He developed a vision that God would raise Isaac up from the dead after he had offered him. And so he had that vision. And so when his son says, Father, I see the fire and I see the wood, what's the burnt offering? And Abraham looked at Isaac and said, my God will provide himself a lamb. See, and the Bible says when he did that, he called the thing that be not as though it were. But he's not just making up something. He's calling what the promise of God was over the situation. So no matter what you're facing in your life, you need to know what the word of God says and then speak the word over that situation. And somebody might say, well, that's not the way it is. You say, yes, but that's God's promise. And the word teaches in Isaiah 53 verse 1 that if I will believe the report of the Lord, I will see the arm of the Lord revealed in my life. I have to accept his report. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 says all of God's promises in Jesus are yea and amen. So I can call the thing that be not as though it were when I got scripture on it. But I can't just say anything off the top of my head and say, well, I'm calling the thing to be not as though it were. Does that make sense? Because some people have taken faith into a hyper faith, is what I call it, and it gets unscriptural. All right? So What I'm wanting to do now is for you to see that binding and loosing, the authority that's been given to the church, it's what the keys are for. And it's sad that the body of Christ, the church, has been given keys they don't ever use. I mean, to think about it, you got a set of keys to the kingdom that Jesus said he's given the church, and you never use those keys. And I'm not trying to be hard or pick on anybody, but when's the last time you used the keys to the kingdom? You say, well, what do the keys to the kingdom do? They bind and loose. That's what a key does. A key locks a door, and a key opens a door. I'm going to say it again. A key will lock a door, and a key will open a door. You got to know what needs to be locked, and you got to know what needs to be open. But you just can't lock something you weren't given the authority to lock. And you can't open something you weren't given the authority to open. The binding on earth and the loosing on earth and the binding in heaven and the loosing in heaven looks like there's this parallel between the church in earth and God in heaven. And this is where last week's message comes back in. If you were here last week or heard last week's message, you know how that worked in the Old Testament with the examples of what we looked at in Melchizedek and Abraham and the example of Jacob's ladder and all that. Man, I want to go back and just bring all that back up again because it's so important to what we're talking about right now. Now, it's not that I bind it and God says, oh, he just bound it. I bind that. No, in the original language, Matthew 16, 19 actually reads that we bind what is already bound in heaven and we loose what is already loosed in heaven. That whole process is an alignment with the will of heaven. It goes in perfect harmony with the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6:10. If you know that prayer, help me pray it in Matthew 6:10. Just help me with that first part, okay? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So if you pray like Jesus taught you to pray, if I'm praying like Jesus taught me to pray, I'm calling on the will of heaven to be done in earth. And when that manifests, that's called kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Why? Because the king took dominion. What's sad for many believers is they don't understand kingdom authority. And therefore, they just walk through life thinking everything's by chance. That if it be the Lord's will, it will be. If it don't be the Lord's will, it won't be. Now, you might hear me say that and say, what? Well, that's the truth. If it be the will. God has given you and me the rights to pray and to call on his kingdom for his will to be done. If it were automatic, why would he have us pray that way? Now, so binding and loosing, how does that work? Well, I need to know what's already bound in heaven. Because if it's bound in heaven, I can bind it in earth. But if it's not bound in heaven, I can't bind it in earth because that key won't match. But if it's loosed in heaven, I can loose it in earth because that key is going to line up. I can't use a key in the earth that wasn't cut in heaven. Oh, my Jesus. Did you hear what I just said? Have you ever went and got a key made and the key didn't work? Huh? And you had to go back and take it back up in there again because the key didn't work? And then they didn't cut it right? Well, the key won't work when it wasn't cut in heaven. So I need to know what heaven is already bound, and I need to know what heaven's already loose, because then I can operate in that kingdom authority in the earth. So where do I find this? Watch this in Matthew 24. You get there, say amen. Verse 35. Heaven and earth. I need to pay attention. Because whatever Jesus is getting ready to say, it will be true where? In heaven and earth. So I like the way this verse is opening up, because now I'm seeing he's addressing two locations, heaven and earth. And he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So what's he saying? My words establish heaven and earth. Because heaven and earth would pass away before my words would pass away. So he's saying my words establish heaven and earth. So that gives me a key that if I want to know what's established in heaven, his word has established it. All I got to do is receive it and declare it in earth. Let's go to another verse. Go with me to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And let's go to verse number 89. See, the body of Christ, the body of Christ, the church, we have got to get back to the word of God. I know that sounds like a simple statement. You say, oh, you're just saying that because you pastor Word of God Ministries. Always about the word, the word, the word. Well, in the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. Hallelujah. And I don't know how to make it about anything else, because it is the Word that reveals Jesus, and it is the Word that the Holy Spirit endorses. So why would I want to hear anything but the Word? You think I'm going to get up here in this pulpit and waste time talking about elections? I know the king whose kingdom will never end. I'm not going to waste your time talking about election. Men will rise and fall, but Jesus is king forever. Damn, we'll get this pulpit and tell you a bunch of stories about my childhood. You don't even know about my childhood. What's my childhood got to do with your future? Man, I want the word. I don't know about you. When I go to church, I want the word. I want to use Bible. I want to go, let me open up and see it for myself. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got a conviction about this thing. Psalms 119, you get there, say amen. Now let's look at it in verse number 89. Psalm 119, way down there in verse 89. This is the longest chapter in the Bible, Psalm 119, and the entire chapter is about the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the entire chapter uses all 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in order. If you read it in Hebrew, I think it gives like 8 verses per letter. And so it's a very interesting chapter. And you may even have that broken up. If you have a Bible that has that broken up, you'll see the verses 1-8 are called Aleph. Anybody's Bible show you that? All right. And then you see verses 9-16 says Beth, because in Hebrew, if you read that, those Psalms lay out the Hebrew alphabet. Oh my goodness, it's powerful. So, but when you get to verse number, I told you, 89. We see something that helps us understand this binding and loosing thing. Verse 89, read it with me. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Forever, read it again. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Not for a few years, not till a church vote. Forever, thy word, O Lord, is settled. Forever, it doesn't matter who's in control. It doesn't matter what's going on in the Middle East. It doesn't matter what's happening in the economy. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. You can't change what God has already declared. You cannot alter what God has already declared. His word is forever settled in heaven. So if I want to know what God will not change on, I just need to know what his word says. So here I am in the earth, and I can bind on earth what is bound in heaven, and I can loose on earth what is loosed in heaven, but I've never been to heaven, so I don't know what God would bind there. I've never been to heaven, so I don't know what's loose there. But I got his word. And his word is forever settled in heaven. So I think many people have the idea that the word of God happened as men were moved by the Holy Spirit and wrote it, meaning that the New Testament is younger than the old. But that's not the case. The word of God was already in heaven, and time has allowed it to unfold. Woo, glory to God. Matthew was written before Matthew was born. The book of Revelation was established before John ever even went to that island of Patmos and got to Revelation. The Holy Spirit unveiled what was already recorded in heaven. Forever thy word is settled in heaven. In the beginning, John 1:1, in the beginning it was the word. Do you realize before God created anything, he created words? Words were God's first creation. You say, where do you get that? because he spoke into existence everything that was created. Hey, hey, y'all better catch up. In Genesis, we read in verse 3 of chapter 1, and God said, his word was the avenue of creation. It was the power of creation. Hebrews 1 and 3 says that his word is what upholds all things. John 1 and 3 says, without his word was not anything made that was made. That's John 1, 3. Without the word of God, God didn't make a thing without his word. That's why when you read in Genesis 1, 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Verse 1 establishes a God. Verse 2 says, and the Spirit of God moved, establishing the presence of the Spirit. But there wasn't a manifestation of anything until God said. So that means if God created the heavens and the earth with his words, then he had to have created words to be his creative power. Words were the first thing God created. That ought to tell you something. The word of God is powerful. No, we don't believe some crazy lie that words and languages evolved over time, that man was evolved from some gorilla and was running around half ape, half man with a big stick running after stuff out of a cave. That's evolution's lie. God made man intelligent. God made man wise. God made man to wear his glory. God established that from the very beginning. Glory. Now, go with me to 1 John chapter 5. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. Real quick now, we got a lot to get to cover. Maybe. Go with me to 1 John chapter 5. Now, drop down to verse 7. And if your Bible goes from verse 6 to verse 8, and there is no verse 7, I'm just talking to you now. Help yourself. You do this, do this for yourself. If your Bible skips verse 7, right now, if you cannot see a verse, you say, Pastor, no Bible skips for you. Well, yes, it do. I've seen them. There is no verse 7. So if your Bible doesn't have verse 7, here's what I command you. Please get you a new Bible. Because you don't need a Bible that's taking Scripture out of Scripture. Especially this one. So go with me to verse 7. 1 John 5, 7. That's why I preach out of the 1611 King James Bible. It's in there. Watch this. Let's read verse 7 if you got it. If you got a Bible that don't have it there, it's time to go Bible shopping. All right. Watch this. Verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Oh, I love that so much. Let's read it again. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. So this verse is establishing there is a harmony between the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. That means the Father's will is never going to be violated by the Word, and the will of the Word will never violate the Father, and the will of the Holy Ghost will never violate the Word, and the will of the Holy Ghost will never violate the Father, and the will of the Word will never violate the Holy Ghost. Did I get all that? They are in complete harmony. But notice where the record was first born. For there are three that bear record in heaven. So how can I find the will of heaven? How do I discover it? I discover it with his word. All right, now let's go back to the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter number 17. Deuteronomy chapter number 17. We've got to begin to be intentional about speaking the word over our lives and over our circumstances. When you're facing something, when you're facing trial, when you're facing trouble, when there's something you're standing in faith for, you need scripture. You need to get you a notepad or something and write those verses down. Post them on your refrigerator, on your mirror, on the dashboard of your car. Get that word, meditate on it, read it, confess it, speak it. You can't operate inside legitimate kingdom authority if you're not in line with heaven. And the way you can get in line with heaven is his word.
I want to thank you for tuning in to today's message on our podcast. If this word encouraged you, visit our website at wogm.com for more information and resources. I'm Pastor James McMenis. Have a blessed week.